Zena, I'll always love you. Stay forever who you are. Don't change a thing because you're perfect. You sway gently in the breeze, in between my dreams. It kind of makes me nervous.
Welcome everyone to Zena Nubers Podcast, aka XNU. My name is Cass and I will be your pod host. Also, welcome back to those of you who have been following this podcast so far. We're now up to episode number 180. This podcast shows all the Zena Uber Septic stories that are out there that have not been given a voice. So hello and welcome everyone to another XNU show. I hope everyone is doing fabulously well. We are continuing to learn to deal with our newest member of our family, which is a little 12-week-old puppy who my partner wanted, and of course I capitulated and gave in and said, okay, fine, we'll get a puppy. And if you get an opportunity, take a look, and it's an Australian cattle dog cross Staffy. And of course, if you've listened to the last episode, you know I made the announcement on it, and you'll see a picture over there. And we've since discovered that she is more higher maintenance than our last two dogs, and ergo, we are struggling through with newly eaten wooden furniture and non-existent bromeliad gardens and yada, yada, yada. So it's all good. Let's get into the show. I do have a major announcement to make, but I probably make it at the end of the show. So let's rock on. All right, in the book recommendation this week, we have The Locket and the Flintlock by Rebecca S. Buck. Now, it's important to remember that this is a due-to-be-released book, which isn't due to be released till May 14th. But it's something that, you know, if your birthday's coming up or things like that, you can always go and get. Anyway, here's the description. Will the masked outlaw who stole Lucia's locket also claim a heart? When Miss Lucia Fox is robbed by a band of shadowy highwaymen, she does not realize this frightening event will change her life forever. Her brave quest to retrieve her stolen locket brings her into close contact with the thieves and their dashing and fearless masked leader, Len Hawkins. But there is more to Len than meets the eye. Beneath the robbers' masks lies a woman who, in her heart, is not really so very different from Lucia. As their unlikely love grows against the backdrop of the poverty and violent protest of Regency England, Lucia learns how much more there is to the world than her upbringing has taught her. Len flirts with death every day, and eventually, an attempt at exacting revenge on her cruel father threatens to snatch her from Lucia's arms. Will Len survive her encounter with death and avoid the retribution of the agents of justice? And can a respectable gentlewoman, Lucia, love Len enough to sacrifice everything she knows? And that's by Rebecca S. Buck. And of course, I'll have a link on my show for you. And it's called The Locket and the Flintlock.
Initializing process. Oh, crap.
Well, out in the World Wide Web this week, nothing much going at Renee's site, but over at AUSXIP, we do have, of course, some information. First and foremost, Spartacus has been renewed for the third season and returns to stars in 2012 with the Spartacus Vengeance premiere. And then there is the Lucy Lawless mugshot that's on there regarding a story that purportedly has Lucy being arrested in Auckland two nights ago. And some story that somebody said that she threw a boot at a cop and got arrested and all this. And Lucy, of course, taking it up because of all the recent arrests of all these stars. Lucy mucked it up and put a photo of herself making a joke of it. So you can check those out there. There's also the highlights showing that Renee was at the Brisbane Supernova photo and and there's a report there. And all the stuff going on with Sasha Alexander and Angie Harmon in the Rizzolian Isles and things like that. So you can check that on out. And, of course, over at the official Lucy Lawless fan club site, Lucy's once again, showing her imitable way, Lucy gets back at the person who tweeted she was at the Occupy Oakland protest. The story is that I got arrested for throwing my shoe at a policeman and the crowd was chanting, "Free Xena." Our official response was, "No comment." But Lucy says, "If anyone finds a shoe, could they please return it? Lucy." And there's a picture on there as well with the dead icons, Eddie Sedgwick and Jimmy Dean. So you can check picture that one out as well. In the movie of the week over at onemorelesbian.com, we've got Crush, a racial Dax film, and Crush follows the lesbian awakening of JoJo, a 19-year-old university student, written, produced, and directed, and photographed and edited by Rachel Dax. So I'll have a link on my show notes so you can see the 20-minute film and leave a review. We continue on with I Found My Heart in San Francisco. This is the conclusion of Book One by Susan Mayer. And on with the show. So, I Found My Heart in San Francisco, Book One, Awakenings. She wasn't sure of many things right then, but she was most definitely sure that she had never been more bereft. She was as sure as she had ever been that she had destroyed her friendship with the closest friend she had ever dreamed of having. And she was equally certain that Ryan would never have her as a lover. She hovered over the commode, heaving every morsel of food and acid from her clenching stomach, hoping fervently that she did not pass out, since that would only make the worst mess for Ryan to clean. She was crying so violently that she did not hear her come back into the room, but soft, warm hands lifted her gently from her kneeling position and scooped her up into Ryan's embrace. She carried her back to the love seat and placed her gently onto cushions, but Jamie's fragmented brain could hardly accept the generous gesture. Seconds later, a warm cloth whisked the tears from her face and wiped her mouth gently. Then the cushions compressed as Ryan sat down next to her and pulled her onto her lap. The dark head leaned forward and planted tiny soft kisses all over her face, reassuring Jamie with her physical intimacies. When the great heaving sobs calmed, she tugged the smaller woman close and whispered, "I'm so sorry, Jamie. I'm so very sorry." She accepted the apology, even though she did not believe that Ryan had anything to apologize for.
I'm the one who should apologize,
she murmured against her damp neck. "No," Ryan said firmly. "I told you to tell me what's on your mind, and when you did, I blasted you for it. That was just wrong of me, Jamie, and I'm very sorry for doing that."
"I hurt your feelings, Ryan,"
she mumbled softly. "Yes, you did hurt me," she agreed, "but you didn't mean to. You're just trying to find a way to make this whole thing less frightening for yourself, and I should have realized that."
"Are you still my friend?"
she asked tentatively. "Always," Ryan replied confidently. "I will always be your friend, Jamie." After a second, she explained, "But if we were to sleep together on a whim, I don't think I could be your friend. You mean far too much to me to cheapen what I feel for you, Jamie. I can't and I won't reduce my feelings for you to mere lust."
"I'm so sorry I made you feel that way, Ryan. I just don't know what that even came from,"
she said sadly as she shook her head.
"I find myself saying, doing things that just not me. I hardly recognize a woman who propositioned you just to try out lesbian sex out."
Ryan's gentle chuckle caused her to look up. "Wasn't that bad?" she teased.
"Yes, it was," Jamie said firmly. "That's not who I am, Ryan. I don't even know where that thought came from, but it's not how I think of you."
"Thank you," she murmured as she gave her a gentle squeeze. "That makes me feel better." She uttered a deep sigh and moaned, holding her stomach.
"I should get home. I need to get something in my stomach."
Ryan sat back and regarded her carefully. Jamie was still very pale, her face nearly ashen. Her hands were clammy and shaking a little, whether from nerves or vomiting, Ryan wasn't sure. She was, however, sure that she would not allow Jamie to drive in this condition. "Two options," she said firmly. "You stay here, or I drive you home. Your choice." She knew that nothing would budge Ryan when she had that determined look on her face. So she pursed her lips and said,
"I'll stay."
Ryan got her a flannel
pajamas, but she could not keep the pants up, so she decided to sleep in the roomy top, in her panties. She tucked her into bed and went back to her desk to study for a while, but it was clear from the tossing and turning that Jamie could not sleep. Without even asking if she wished comfort, Ryan took her book and got into bed, lying in the center of the king-sized surface. She urged Jamie to rest her head on her sweatpants-covered lap and began to slowly run her fingers through her short blonde locks. As expected, her breathing evened out and deepened almost immediately as Ryan smiled down at the gently dozing woman nestled up against her body. "Come on, Jamie," she urged in silent prayer. "Face the truth." "I understand the dream upset you, Jamie, but maybe we can make some sense out of it if you talk about it," Anna urged. "All right," Jamie begrudgingly agreed. "I was swimming in my pool's parents at home. Everything was fine, nice day and all that, but the water was chilly, so I had to keep moving. But all of a sudden I was in the ocean. It was weird because I couldn't see land, but the water was so calm and still that it was just like the pool had been. Nice and calm, but still a little cold. But it was definitely the ocean. I knew that it was really deep, so I had to keep floating. There were all sorts of things floating right by me. A life preserver, a thick pool float, even one of those floating chairs. But I didn't want any of them for some reason. I just kept on trying to swim. It went fine for a while, but I eventually got tired of trying to just stay afloat. But here's the weird part. Instead of grasping onto one of the nice, safe life rafts, I started to venture into the choppy, rough water that I could see in the distance. I don't know why I did it," she marveled. "The place I was in was so much calmer and safer, but I had to reach that turbulent water. The closer I got, the more energized I felt," she said in wonder. "It was really rough going, but I had to continue farther and farther out. Even though the water was wild and rough, it was much warmer and clearer. I could actually see all the marine life surrounding me, and that made it very exciting. The water was so blue and clear, it was like it was in the Caribbean rather than California. But again, the waves continued to grow. The chop must have been 2 feet, and I felt like I'd never make it. But out of nowhere, Ryan appeared. She swam right up to me so confidently that I immediately started to relax. I really needed her help, but she didn't grab me like I thought she would. Instead, she gave me a beautiful smile and turned so that she was lying on her back. She started to kick and move further out into even rougher water. Her eyes were on me the whole time, and seeing her encouraged me, but she wasn't giving me the kind of help I needed. She just smiled and kept kicking. I knew that I had to follow her because she was my only chance of survival. But as soon as I found out, she was not going towards shore. I could now see the shore and the calm waters, but I was inexorably drawn to follow her. It made no sense to me," she said in a frustrated tone. "The shore was the other way. All of those things that kept me afloat were in the other direction, but I followed her into those deep, treacherous waters." "Is that all you remember?" Anna asked. "Yeah, that's it." "Have you any ideas about the meaning?" "Yeah, that choosing Ryan's going to be the death of me," she grumbled. "I mean, I had the nice pool, and I had the nice calm ocean, but I just had to let her lead me into the depths."
"Maybe,"
Anna mused slowly. "Or maybe she wasn't leading you at all. Maybe she was supporting you on a journey that you were determined to take."
"Journey?"
"Yes, a journey of discovery, Jamie. Tell me about the water."
"Well, the water in the pool was nice. A little cold, but nice. Then the calm ocean water was about the same. But as I went into the rough water, it became warm, almost my body temperature."
"Wait a minute," she said excitedly. "It was my body temperature. The further I got out, the less I could even feel the water. It must have been exactly my temperature."
"What else?"
"It was warm and very, very clear. The water in the calm part had been like regular ocean water. You could only see a few inches. But the rough water was so clear you could see everything around you. It was really exciting," she related. "Kind of like scuba diving."
"Were you afraid to follow Ryan?"
"Yes, I was scared spitless."
"But you chose to, even though you could see the shore and the nice calm water."
"Yes, I did,"
She said quietly, "Why do you think you chose to follow her into dangerous waters, rather than go back to safety?" Anna asked. Jamie was quiet for a long while. She had closed her eyes to follow herself to think more clearly. The silence continued until she lifted her head and opened her eyes, focusing on Anna with a defiant look in her eyes. "Because the calm water was going to kill me," she said firmly. "The only chance I had was to risk the turbulence." "Was it Ryan's decision to lead you out there?" she asked gently. "No." Jamie shook her head forcefully and took a deep breath. "She came out to the turbulence for me. She was risking her own security to help me save myself." Anna nodded briefly and asked a critical question. "What does the dream tell you, Jamie?" She closed her eyes and involuntarily shivered from head to toe. Her eyes blinked open slowly and her voice grew quiet but determined. "It tells me to say goodbye to Jack." She considered every permutation of plan. Should she have him come to Berkeley? Should she go to his apartment? Over the phone? In a letter? But none of the options seemed optimal. She had never broken up with anyone special before, and she truly hated that Jack had to be the one. Finally deciding that she had to get it over with, she called his apartment at 7 o'clock.
"Jamie, hi,"
he said warmly.
"I didn't expect to hear from you so soon."
"I need to talk to you, Jack. Can I come down?"
"Tonight?"
he asked in surprise.
"What is it, Jamie? Something wrong?"
"Yes, Jack. Something is wrong. But I think I need to tell you in person."
"No,"
he said firmly.
"I don't want to wait an hour. Don't hold me in suspense, please,"
he begged. She drew in a breath and let it out slowly, trying to steel her nerves. It's about us, Jack," she said with a tremulous voice.
"I assume that, Jamie,"
he said calmly.
"What about us exactly?"
We can't be together," she whispered as the tears began.
"Why?"
he asked so softly that she could barely hear him.
"I thought I had..."
"You did nothing wrong, Jack. You are absolutely perfect," she said as a sob shook her body. "It's not you. It's me."
"What is you?"
he asked, again in a barely perceptible voice.
"I'm not able to commit to you fully, Jack. I have sexual feelings for other women,"
she mumbled, refusing to make Ryan to be the villain.
"So do I, Jamie,"
he said with a light tone as he could muster.
"But I don't act on them, because I love you. Don't you love me enough to put those feelings aside?"
She was shaking her head even though he could not see her.
"It's not like that, Jack. It would always interfere between us. You're too wonderful a person to settle for someone who wasn't able to give you all their love."
"Shouldn't I be the one who decides that, Jamie?"
he asked flatly.
"Please don't try to make decisions for me."
"This isn't just for you, Jack. I've tried to focus only on you, but I haven't been successful. This is something I have to experience. It will haunt me forever if I don't. I swear the pull is just too strong."
"Stronger than your love for me?"
he asked quietly.
"It must be,"
she admitted as her voice broke.
"God, I wish it wasn't, Jack,"
she sobbed.
"I want to be with you, and I have a bunch of kids and clothes as part of my self-love. But I can't. I just can't,"
she added weakly.
"It would be unfair to both of us and our children, because someday the pool will be too great. And I would ruin all that we had built together."
A long silence developed since she had nothing more to add. Finally, he asked,
"Are you absolutely certain?"
"Yes,"
she said quietly.
"I'm certain."
He blew out a long breath and quietly said,
"I love you, Jamie."
Then the phone went dead. The phone rang again at 10, and she was tempted not to answer. But she stumbled to the handset and picked it up.
"Hello,"
she said with a stuffy nose and raspy voice.
"Jamie?"
Ryan asked, a little unsure if it was her.
"Yeah,"
she said flatly.
"What's wrong?"
Ryan asked amid the noise of wherever she was.
I had a tough evening,
she mumbled.
Well, you looked upset while we were working out. That's why I called. I was getting ready to go home and I wanted to make sure you were all right.
I'm all right,
she said very unconvincingly.
Jamie, we talked about this last week,
she reminded her.
You can tell me what's bothering you. That's what friends do.
I can't,
she muttered as she started to cry.
I've been crying for 3 hours and I don't want to start again.
I'll be there in 5,
Ryan said decisively as she hung up. True to her word, Ryan knocked softly on the door mere minutes later. Casey poked her head out, but she nodded when she saw Jamie open her door to go and answer the knock. Her eyes were swollen from crying, and red blotches covered her face and neck. Her hair was seriously askew from trying to sleep, and her nose was running continually. Ryan just gently placed her hand on her back and led her back upstairs. When they reached the room, she put a calming CD in the changer and turned it on to disguise their voices from prying roommates.
You don't have to tell me anything,
she promised.
Just let me hold you and comfort you.
Even though she did not speak, the tears started again. Jamie stood in the middle of the room, looking lost and small, and frightened. Her shoulders shook from crying, and she was sobbing so hysterically that she could not have been understood, even if she had tried to speak. But she nodded her head at Ryan's offer and closed her eyes as a warm embrace enveloped her.
Bed or love seat?
She asked gently. Rather than respond, Jamie started moving towards the bed, and Ryan released her tight hold to drape an arm over her shoulders. She half fell onto the mattress, and Ryan kicked off her shoes and climbed right up next to her, snuggling behind her and stroking her arm. She asked no questions, and Jamie offered no explanations, but after a few minutes she felt the aching sadness begin to lift a little bit. She knew she was close to collapsing from exhaustion, so she just asked,
"Stay with me."
"Of course,"
she murmured. Ryan got up and removed her jeans and slid her out of her bra. A difficult feat when one doesn't take off the t-shirt covering it. But she quickly returned to the bed and cuddled up behind her friend, wrapping her arm around her waist. Jamie was almost asleep, but just before she drifted off, she mumbled,
"I broke up with Jack tonight. Permanently,"
she added. Ryan felt a huge amount of empathy for her friend, but the tiny glimmer of hope in her heart that had nearly been extinguished flickered and grew warmer, causing a small smile to grace her lips as she tilted her head up to gently kiss Jamie's tear-streaked cheek. On a cloudy, damp afternoon, she sat in Anna's warm office and declared,
"I think I'm ready to move forward with Ryan, if she's still interested after my meltdown,"
she added with a smirk.
"Have you spoken to her about your relationship since that little incident?"
she asked delicately.
"No. We've become strangely silent about the whole thing. But we seem to be even closer than we were before,"
she admitted.
"She hovers over me like a hawk, always making sure that I'm doing all right. We're together almost constantly, and when I don't see her, she calls me right before she goes to sleep."
"That's encouraging.
What makes you think you're ready?"
Anna inquired.
"My feelings for her just get stronger all the time. I just feel so good when we're together. It's like she's just so complimentary to me. I can honestly say that she helps bring out the best parts in me,"
she replied thoughtfully.
"Do you have any doubts about moving forward?"
"Yeah. Oh, yeah," she laughed. "I'm scared spitless, to be honest. I know in my heart that this is right for me, but I'm really scared about sex,"
she admitted, a bit embarrassed.
"What is it that scares you?"
Anna asked gently.
"It's just that I've never been with a woman, and she's been with, let's just say she's been with a lot of women."
She blushed.
"I worry that I won't be able to please her, or that she'll get frustrated with my inexperience."
"Would you feel comfortable talking to her about your fears?"
"I think I would. I mean, I tell her everything else. I may as well own up to this, too," she laughed. "It's funny, but I dated boys for almost 6 years before I had intercourse. I just wish I could spend a little time just exploring Ryan before it got too intense. I wish I could just get a lesbian learner's permit, but that didn't go over very well the last time I brought it up,"
she added, with a noticeable shiver.
"That was a completely different situation, Jamie. You're asking for something very different now.
There is no outside force that compels you to do things that you're not ready to do. If you want to go slow and just explore, there is no reason that you can't do that.
I'm just afraid that Ryan wouldn't be able to do that,
she added shyly.
She has needs that she's not used to denying. She's not used to denying.
If she's the person that you think she is, you might be surprised at what she would do to make you comfortable, Jamie. I think you owe it to yourself to make this experience as safe as you need it to be. I think you need to talk to Ryan, she said firmly.
They met at the ferry building in a foggy chill of late April morning. Both had several layers of clothing on to guard against the stiff breeze that constantly fluttered through the Golden Gate. They loaded their mountain bikes onto the first ferry to Sausalito and found places on the rail to watch the panorama unfold before them.
You really can talk to me to anything, can't you?
Brian said as she smiled down on her companion.
Don't you think the ferry is fun?
Jamie replied.
I haven't been on one since my fourth grade class that went to Alcatraz. She admitted, all I remember is that Shelley Blake got sick and spent the whole time hanging over the rail. We thought that was pretty cool, so I guess I do think ferries are fun.
She replied with a smile.
Well, I like them a lot, so you have to, too.
Jamie confidently stated.
Can't remember the last time I was in Sausalito, though. I think it's fun to do touristy things once in a while, don't you?
I'm learning that I do, Ryan admitted. We didn't do a lot of touristy things when I was growing up, so a lot of this is new for me. Actually, I'm not sure I've ever really been to Sausalito. I mean, I've gone through it on the way to someplace else, but I don't think I've ever explored it. I'm really looking forward to it, Jamie. Thanks for taking me,
she said happily. The trip was almost too short for Ryan. She loved the feeling of fresh breeze in her face, loved the smell of the sea, and the feeling of the heavy air as she drew it into her lungs. Jamie just stood back a bit and watched all of Ryan's senses enjoy the trip. When they arrived in Sausalito, they unloaded the bikes and took off. It was around 10 o'clock and Ryan was hungry as usual, even though she had consumed a rather large breakfast. They found a little outdoor coffee shop right on the water and sat outside in the damp mist while they drank their hot lattes and ate warm muffins. Ryan looked particularly adorable today. Several weeks ago, Jamie occupied her to the Patagonia store near Fisherman's Wharf to buy some new bike clothes. Ryan was making enough money now that she was able to bring her savings up to a comfortable level for the first time in years. She decided to splurge and buy several items that she had been lusting after for a long time. Due to her fitness level, Ryan sweated a ton when she rode her bike. She hated wearing cotton t-shirts because the sweat just stuck to her body. She'd always liked the silk weight underwear from Patagonia, but had never had the money to buy it. Now that she was slightly flush, she was ready to shop. She bought 3 silk weight t-shirts that would pull moisture away from her body. She also bought 2 bike jerseys, one short-sleeved and one sleeveless that would also wick her sweat away. She had a number of jerseys in her wardrobe, but they were all from various races that she had entered and were covered with logos. She absolutely hated to be a walking billboard, so the sedate little logo on the Patagonia tops were very welcome. Jamie had talked her into buying 2 sports bras made of the same type fabric. Her favorite purchase, though, was a fluffy fleece jacket that she had on today. It was electric blue and toasty warm on cool days. Under the jacket, she wore a thin nylon vest in a brilliant yellow. This cut the wind and would be handy for wearing later in the day when the weather warmed up. Jamie had purchased a fleece jacket for herself in a New Jersey. Her jacket was bright blue and green print that complemented her golden hair. Both women wore long black bike pants and their heavy off-road shoes. After watching the morning harbor traffic for a while, Jamie asked as casually as she could,
"So, have you been dating anybody lately?"
"No, I haven't,"
Ryan said as she removed her gaze from the harbor and fixed it upon Jamie.
"What do you think I do? Leave your house at 10 and go trolling for my nightly fix?"
"What about all those girls I've seen you around campus with?"
she teased.
"I am polite, Jamie,"
she said seriously.
"But just because I'm talking to him, it doesn't mean I'm sleeping with him,"
she said rather curtly. She picked up her trash and walked to the nearest bin to toss it away. When she returned, her smile was back in place and she held a hand out to help Jamie to her feet. As they got to their bikes, Jamie asked gently,
"Did I hurt your feelings, Ryan?"
"No, it's nothing. I'm just a little sensitive today. I'm in the throes of PMS. Sometimes my mouth has a will of its own."
As she rode away, she turned to Jamie. "Thanks for asking, though," she said with a sweet smile. They rode for a long while and companionable in silence. The trip to Muir Woods was rather arduous, but well worth the effort. The scenery was breathtaking as bit by bit the morning fog lifted and more of the scenery was revealed. Finally, they reached their destination. Both women had doffed their jackets due to the exertion. Jimmy had hers tied around her waist, but Ryan's was stowed at the pack that was securely attached to her bike. The packs also held the delicious picnic lunch they had purchased at a deli in Sausalito. Ryan had the honor of carrying all the food and drinks, since she was both the stronger rider and the bigger eater. As they rode around Muir Woods, Jamie had to put her jacket back on. The path they were traveling was densely populated by some of the oldest and tallest coast redwoods in the state. The tall trees obscured the weak sun and made the path rather dark. It was still and quiet in the forest, the only sounds those made by the two women. As they drew near Redwood Creek, they got off their bikes and stood on the bank of the quick-running stream. The sun was stronger now as it neared noon. It poked through the tall canopy of trees and cast deep shadows on the glistening creek. They decided to eat lunch, so Ryan went to her packs and removed their purchases. She had bought a neatly folded, relatively reflective space blanket, which she spread on the ground, and the tiny, shiny metallic surface gathered what sun there was to warm them. They sat and ate, mostly in silence, content to listen to the stream and the birds and the wildlife that surrounded them. After the remains of their meal was cleaned up and placed back in the pack, Jamie looked up at Ryan with a little smile and said, "Guess what I want?"
Let's see.
She reflected as she tilted her head up.
What would a little pleasure hound want after a long ride and a big lunch? I would guess that you want either a leg massage or a little nap.
She glanced over at a companion as she asked,
"How did I do?"
"Pretty good," she admitted. "I choose the second option."
Ryan just shook her head and grinned at her friend as she scooted over to the nearest tree and patted her thigh. "Come on, sleeping beauty. It's time for your nap."
Jamie happily complied by crawling over to Ryan, lying down parallel to her stretched-out legs. She lay her head on the lycra-covered thighs and moved around until she was comfortable. Ryan's hand dropped to rest on her golden hair and began to run her fingers through the soft locks.
"I don't think it's possible to feel more content than I do right now,"
she murmured as she heard Ryan begin to hum a slow, soft tune. She awoke after a short but very restful nap. She heard Ryan's rhythmic breathing and turned her head just enough to see her friend's head resting back against the redwood bark, sound asleep.
"Oh, she looks so pretty. I want to scoot up there and kiss that beautiful mouth awake," she thought longingly.
In lieu of that, she just let the peaceful feeling wash over her as she lay there on Ryan's lap. She let herself drift off again and eventually woke as a blade of grass was drawn over her eyelids and lips.
"Hey, no fear tickling me awake," she complained.
"How would you prefer to be woken up, princess?"
Ryan replied with a twinkle in her eyes.
"I can think of 100 different ways, but they all involve your mouth in some level of nudity," she thought. "I'll consider that and get back to you,"
she said with a grin as she sat up and stretched.
"Ooh, my thighs do not appreciate that last hill."
She turned to Ryan and smiled coquettishly.
"Is it too late to order option one?"
"I hope you brought me here for more than my thighs and my hands."
She playfully growled as she began to massage his stiff legs.
"Well, those are two of the biggest reasons, but it's too early to talk about that," she thought privately.
When the massage was complete, they hopped back on the bikes and began to ride Mount Tama pace. Jamie had been here numerous times, but she had never experienced it in quite the way she did today. The feeling of slowly climbing the 2,200-foot hill was completely exhilarating. It really allowed her to test her aerobic capacity, as well as the strength in her legs and overall fitness. To her surprise, she was quite pleased with the result. While the ride was clearly not easy, she managed it with very little serious trouble. The climb was made even more pleasant by the profusion of wildflowers that sprouted from every meadow and glen. This was a particularly spectacular year for the wildflowers crop, and she offered up a silent prayer of thanks that they had come to this place on a beautiful day. They stopped frequently on the ride. At one point, they spotted a family of deer in the distance, and they stopped for a long while to watch them graze peacefully, seemingly unconcerned by the presence of humans. It was nearly 4 o'clock by the time they reached the peak. Daylight savings time would begin that night, but today the sun was scheduled to set at around 6 p.m.
"I'm a little concerned they were going to have trouble making it back while it's still light out,"
Ryan said as they paused to drink a bottle of water.
"Are you up to starting back right away?"
"That was not really what I had in mind," Jamie replied. "I really wanted to stay up here for a while, maybe watch the sunset."
She thought about the problem for a minute, then extracted herself from her seat pack.
"Let me see if I can resolve our little problem,"
she said mysteriously. Moments later, Jamie had booked the last remaining room at the Pelican Inn. This adorable little inn was near the Redwood Creek, emptied into Muir Beach, and it would take no more than half an hour to ride there. Ryan was a little reticent to allow Jamie to pay for the room, but she was finally convinced when Jamie insisted that she was staying over, whether Ryan did or not. Of course, she did not mention that only the largest, most expensive room was still available, and she had no plans to reveal that information later either. They stood on the peak, alone in the waning sunlight. There were several large boulders, and they climbed onto the biggest one to talk and watch the sunset. The view from the peak was stupendous, with the huge panorama spread out in front of them. They could see for miles in all directions on this terribly clear afternoon. The fog was still off in the distance, and the sun beat down, warming them on their rock. Ryan was half reclining on the large stone, her torso supported by her forearms. Jamie gathered up her courage and did her best to calm her racing heart. She crawled around and she was sitting right next to her, facing her directly.
"You're missing the beautiful view, Jamie."
Ryan chided her.
"No, I'm not,"
she replied soberly.
"I'm looking at the most beautiful view I ever hoped to see,"
she said softly as her eyes locked into Ryan's. That clearly got her attention. Ryan sat up carefully, keeping her eyes on Jamie. Her expression was open, very interested. She cocked her head just a tiny bit in question as she continued to stare into sea green eyes. Jamie reached out and took each of Ryan's hands in hers. They sat directly in front of one another, cross legs, just touching at the knees.
"Ryan, I've given a lot of thought of how I feel about you,"
she said in a very quiet voice.
"And I know that I hurt you when I tried to go back to Jack. But I did that out of pure fear, Ryan. I never wavered in my desire for you. I was just too afraid to express it. But in a strange way, that incident finally knocked some sense into me. It made me face my true self. I know that you are the person that I love."
She dropped one soft hand and reached out to touch an even softer pink cheek that began to tremble slightly under the fingertips. She leaned in closer as her eyes bore into Ryan's with fierce intensity.
"I'm absolutely certain about this, and I want to move forward and build a life with you. But our friendship means more to me than anything, and if that's all you can offer, I can live with that."
Ryan squeezed their hands tightly and whispered,
"You have no idea how I've prayed for this. I know I told you that I'd be fine if you decided that you were straight, but I was lying. To myself, and to you. I thought of nothing else since you told me that you were attracted to me, and when you went back to Jack, I didn't know how I would survive. And the worst part was that I had to support your choice, even though it was ripping my heart out."
She let herself shed the tears that she had been forced to conceal from her friend, relishing the soft embrace that Jamie now offered. She sniffed as she continued,
"Every night when I say my prayers, I ask for the chance to love you like you deserve to be loved."
A shiver ran down her body as she took in a deep breath, closed her eyes tightly, and pledged,
"I offer much more than my friendship, Jamie. I offer you everything that I am and everything that I can become. I want to give myself to you, totally, completely, and eternally."
Jamie gazed at her with every tender emotion she felt clearly displayed in her eyes.
"I love you completely, Ryan, and I want to be with you."
She leaned close and said even more quietly,
"Emotionally, spiritually."
Here, she leaned over until she was right next to Ryan's ear as she whispered,
"And physically."
Ryan's heart was pounding so loudly that she was certain Jamie could hear it. She removed the graceful hand that covered her cheek and slowly turned it until it was right before her lips. She closed her eyes and kissed the palm reverently. She placed kiss after kiss on the small hand as she slowly nodded her head in acceptance of the offer placed before her. Her eyes remained closed the whole while, and Jamie could see the first small tear slide down that beautiful face. She rose to her knees and felt Ryan do the same. She lifted her hands to rest on the smooth planes of Ryan's face. She used her thumbs to tenderly trace over the dark brows, across the prominent cheekbones, down the strong line of her jaw, finally finding the soft, warm lips. One lucky thumb continued the task, softly moving over her moist lips as they slowly opened to envelop the thumb in their warm wetness. A jolt of sensation shot up and down Jamie's spine with a force so great that she felt dizzy. Orion stayed right where she was, waiting for Jamie to proceed as she felt comfortable. It took her a few seconds to gather herself, but she finally was able to move forward. She took in as deep a breath as she could manage and cradled Ryan's face in both of her hands. Tilting her head just an inch, she leaned forward and captured those incredibly soft lips without hesitation. A tiny moan escaped Orion as Jamie's mouth sealed hers with the promise of her love. Their arms slid around one another's waist as their lips came together again. The kisses were slow and soft and gentle, but unceasing. There was a great depth of emotion behind each tender kiss, but they did not vary in their intensity. These were not the passionate kisses of lovers about to consummate their union. Rather, this was the first stirring of promises to come. Knowing there would be plenty of time to explore in depth, they reveled in their first tender meeting of warm mouths. Jamie placed her hands on either side of Ryan's face and delicately kissed each closed eyelid, chasing each tear away. "I love you, Ryan. I love you so much," she said as she kissed the tender lips again and again. Ryan's eyes fluttered open, and she gazed at Jamie with a depth of emotion that she had never felt before.
"I love you too, Jamie. I do. I swear I do,"
she whispered fiercely as she drew her into a forceful hug. They remained just as they were for seemingly endless time. They alternated soft kisses with warm, tender embraces, occasionally shedding a tear or two at the overpowering feeling generated by their bond. As the sun began to slip into the sea, the boulder provided warmth into their entwined bodies. But as the chill in the air began to overtake even this heat, they reluctantly parted.
"I don't ever want to lose this feeling,"
Jamie whispered as they gripped each other tightly one last time.
"We can't lose this feeling,"
Ryan said firmly.
"This feeling is just the cornerstone of a lifetime of wonderful moments. It will always be with us, reminding us of how we began. But I promise you, Jamie,"
she said fiercely as she locked onto her sea-green eyes,
"this is just the first step of a journey that will take our entire lives to complete. We've just barely begun."
"I'll follow you anywhere, Ryan,"
she pledged as she lifted her head for several more loving kisses. But Ryan pulled her head away and gazed at her with a look of pure devotion.
"No, Jamie, I don't need you. We go together,"
she promised.
"Always together."
The end. At least until book two.
Well, that concludes book one, Awakenings of I Found My Heart in San Francisco by Susan Mayer. At this point, we want to say a great big thank you to Susan Mayer for allowing us to use her story on the show. And I hope everyone has enjoyed that story and that book. I hope to continue it on, but we, of course, will be taking a break and doing other stories in the interim. And at this point, I want to make the announcement that I mentioned earlier. I am going to take a break from the show for... I'm going to take 2 weeks off for the Thanksgiving period to attend to family coming, close friends and family coming over, and for the Thanksgiving break, as well as to attend to other things that need to be taken care of. So I hope to be doing the show back again in the 2nd of December, and hopefully have a new set of stories going for you and a fresh start and perspective for the show. If you have any suggestions or ideas for the show, please send them in while taking this break so that I can revamp the show and hopefully follow what you, the listener, are suggesting. Send them in to zena.uber@gmail.com. So I hope everyone has a Thanksgiving that will greatly impact them on a positive note. They have a safe holiday. And till then, everyone, take care, enjoy life and love. Bye-bye.